Claude.
The following program contains swearing right from the fucking start.
Hello and welcome back to We Don't Do Stuff. I'm Sunny Dapp.
And I'm Jazz, and this is our podcast about stuff we don't do, but we will eventually.
So this week I'm excited because I'm in our brand new studio space, Jazz.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's got a better layout, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and it feels
so
more...
So we're literally sitting opposite each other.
Yeah, and we can actually have a conversation. And it also feels much more decluttered and lighter in here. So that's good.
That's because I've been doing something.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about in a bit.
All right, okay. So Jazz, what have we missed in Birmingham this week?
So I've got 2-3 things maybe.
Okay.
So there's something going on called the Vintage, Retro and Craft Fair.
Now that sounds fun and interesting.
Yeah, so obviously we missed it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was in Solihull and you could have had like live music, dancing. So you take it back in time to a vintage... Vintage era? Yeah. So
okay.
Basically you could have like afternoon tea, retro shopping, clothing, yeah. Shoes, jewellery, homewares, collectibles, and new items with a vintage twist.
You know, for some reason I'm thinking steampunk. It's not that one. Steampunk is like...
No.
Okay, it's not that.
I think vintage is like from the 60s, 70s kind of era, is it?
Yeah, I suppose. Or 50s.
Maybe, I don't
all
know.
All that era, isn't it? Okay, fair enough.
It's all that.
That sounded good.
Vintage and retro,
okay.
Craft fair.
Cool.
But we missed it. It doesn't look like it's going to happen again.
That's even worse.
Anyway, the other thing that I thought looked quite interesting was, because you hear about this on movies quite a lot.
Okay.
Or you hear about people talk about it like back in the day.
Yeah.
An open mic night.
Okay.
So this is basically in a pub called, I don't know if it's a pub actually, it's called the Shirley British Legion Club.
Okay. Somewhere in Shirley, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than owned by Shirley.
Shirley's British Legion Club. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are they doing, like comedy and stuff, poetry or singing?
I thought you might know about it.
No, it's the first time I heard it.
The link to see what it's about.
So, okay, that sounds alright. I don't know anyone is going there, but I could pass the details on to a few of the people in my crew and all that. Might want to go and do a stand-up spot. All the way in Shirley. I don't know, but they might be doing a regular thing in it. All the way in Shirley.
I doubt it, man.
That's true, innit?
Okay. I wouldn't go to an open mic night if you...
In Shirley.
No, I would. I think it's for the people literally...
To start in a
practice.
Like, oh yeah, no, but sometimes you get loads of like comedians and stand-ups, so you just go to open mic and just to practice their material.
Is it?
Yeah, that's all they do, because it's, I suppose you have to test some material out before you take in it. What's the other thing?
So the other thing that looked quite interesting was, it's a new car boot sale.
Yeah.
Which is being held in Birmingham city centre every weekend, and it's called Birmingham Sunday Share.
Okay. But obviously you exchange goods
for cash.
Cash, and you don't just exchange goods, you know. Just...
Yeah, so it is a car boot sale, but I think that's what they're calling it.
Okay.
And it's basically on Rhea Street South in Digbeth from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. every
that's
Sunday.
So early, man.
I know. So I was going to say to you, do you want to go today? But I thought it's way too early, isn't it? 7 o'clock in the morning.
But then you don't have to get there for 7, right? Or is it best to get there for 7?
It's probably best to get there for early to get all the deals, apparently.
I suppose, isn't
it? Bargains.
And also, like, you ever remember watching that stuff like Bargain Hunt and all that? And the people actually... Sometimes people have some good stuff there. They don't know what they're selling in it.
Hmm.
Do you think people would be having any of that? Would you find any gems is what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but when we went to car boot sale ages ago...
Yeah.
Like the traders literally walked around. And the stuff that... Our stuff that looked good. They took it off us. Like they bought it off us.
Okay.
Put it onto their own stands.
No way.
Because they know that we were selling it. Because we were amateurs, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they knew that we were selling it cheaper. And they know that they're going to hold on to it.
And make some more money out of it.
And make more money from it. Because they're gonna come back next week. Whereas they knew that we weren't going to come back.
No way.
Yeah.
Man.
So.
I never knew that there was some sort of like.
They were
underground.
Hustling, man.
Yeah.
And it.
Underground.
But anyway, we kind of missed the start of that.
But it's happening every Sunday, is it?
Every Sunday, yeah. I think we should go one Sunday, maybe.
Check it out. Okay. I remember back in the day when Bobby used to go to car boot sales and he'd come back with like wrestling figures.
Yeah.
Or figures that he didn't even know wrestlers were had, like, used to have, like, was it Greg the Hammer Valentine and all them people? And like, what's that other guy, man? He used to cut hair. He's a barber. He's a wrestler. Barber's the Brutus Beefcake.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah. Oh, no way, man.
Literally cannot remember those people, man.
Yeah, they were probably like classic wrestling, man. That was before he became all... what it is now. Whilst
I think that's the only thing that we missed.
Okay, that's
the only other thing that we missed was,
yeah,
because obviously because it was Valentine's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there's loads of stuff going around because of Valentine's Day,
which but, I missed.
Yeah.
Cool. Why, did you get any Valentine's cards?
No, I didn't.
I didn't get any.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What do you say?
I was single on Valentine's Day.
Okay, just like every other day.
No, 364 days. No, I'm joking. So basically, I was, because I think I follow a lot of single people, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like,
what, just in general or on social media?
On social media. So basically, you know, you have like unromantic couples.
Okay.
And they're like romantic couples show like, you know, like, I did this romantic thing. And then you've got this like new spate of people who are like being purposely unromantic
on Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day,
they'd be like, "Oh, I'm not going to be giving into this commercialization."
And they'd be like, "Oh, it's just commercialized. I'm not being nice to my partner this day." And you're like, "You're not fucking nice to your partner on any day."
Yeah. That's true.
I find it really annoying.
I was going to bring this up, and so basically, ages ago, I matched this girl on Tinder, and this was like a good 2 or 3 weeks before Valentine's Day, and she's like, "What are you doing on Valentine's Day?" And I was like, "Nothing." So she's randomly like, "Oh, let's meet then," innit? I was like, "We should possibly meet before that because this is gonna be weird," innit? But luckily, that did not come to pass. So I just carried on doing what I was gonna do on Valentine's Day anyway. I went to the gym.
Yeah,
and I thought that was more fun than anything else. Surprisingly, the gym was empty.
Was it on Valentine's Day?
Yeah,
I think I went as well,
and it was empty.
Might be. It's always empty when I
go. All the regular people were there though. That's the thing. So I think they just treat me as a normal day.
But do you reckon all those people were single anyway?
They probably were. They probably were, man.
Hmm.
But what's trending on social media, Jazz? Social media, what's
trending? Yeah.
That's it.
Do you know what, man? You caught me off guard, man. I was thinking, how do you know what the thing's called?
Okay, I didn't.
I've got two things and you got one thing, yeah?
I've got two things, but I've got a feeling one of our two things may be the same.
Okay, what's your two things?
Actually, let's just tell me your thing.
Okay, I've got, it was Random Acts of Kindness Day.
Okay, I've heard about this. It's called like, is there a name for it?
Yeah, I think it was hashtag Random Acts of Kindness Day.
No, the people who do these Random Acts of Kindness, they've got a name for themselves. But anyway, what is that, Jazz? What is that about?
I literally got the name of the hashtag written down. I'm assuming it's in the name.
People just do random acts of kindness
for people.
Okay, that's cool.
I don't know. Why would you have it as a day? Is it just to promote that people should do it anyway?
Yeah. I think it's just to highlight it and make it aware. Obviously, you know, you got these health awareness days.
Yeah.
It's not just every other day, don't think about drinking or smoking. It's about just building the awareness on the one.
Yeah. I think it's like people need permission sometimes.
Yeah. Or people sometimes just do it so they can share it on social media and be like,
"Oh, I did this random act of kindness."
Yeah, I was.
But it's not random if you do it on a specific day, though, is it?
I don't know, man. And also, I find as well, like, look, it's good that people are doing kind things and all that. But sometimes I think, okay, you know, that's amazing that you've done something kind, and you know. But then sometimes people like share it so much
that it's not random. They've done it for Facebook likes.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think to myself, well, you know, okay, what are you doing it for? Like, there's a lot of people who, you know, who are doing so much, like, you know, giving their time, charity and stuff, or even helping other people. That's not any way benefiting them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, you know, generally a act of kindness. And people are just doing it, but I don't know, man. I feel like social media is just...
But do you know what, random acts of kindness day, do you think that applies to yourself? Like, would you randomly be kind to yourself so you could go on a shopping spree?
I think, to be honest with you, I think more people are probably not kind to themselves.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I think sometimes we're harsher on ourselves more than anyone else. But anyway, this is our South Half part of the podcast. But it's true, man. I think more people should be kind to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I saw trending. I saw some of the things. I think I follow some really random people for those kind of stuff to come up.
Yeah. What else was trending?
I'm trying to see what kind of acts of kindness people have done.
It's going to be something like, I don't know, buying someone a coffee or something, or...
Yeah.
So someone who could actually help themselves and buy themselves a coffee because they're spending £5 on a coffee.
I actually think that's okay.
I'm taking it.
Basically, yeah. Like, when people do random acts of kindness or any act of kindness or any kind of charity work, everyone always goes for the most, or in their mind, the most impoverished, or the person who's the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I ain't got an issue with it. So everyone goes for, like, blind people, disabled people, or
how dare someone tries to help people?
No, I'm saying that these people do it
yeah
to show like the difference
Okay.
Like, you know, like there's a larger difference between,
yeah,
like, oh, I helped a blind person, or I helped a disabled person, okay, or whatever. Yeah. And but like, your fit healthy inverted commas people,
okay,
nobody would help, really.
Okay, I know what you mean. Yeah, so people,
or they wouldn't put it on social media and say necessarily, oh, I bought this person
a coffee
or
yeah,
okay, whatever's in it.
Yeah,
yeah, because people will be like, yeah, so what in it.
Yeah,
but they know that in their head they're thinking that, oh, if I help a blind person, or if I help
it'll basically get more, or, it'd be more accepted.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what
as
it is,
charity
and it'd be
it?
More, yeah, I'll get the approval and the attention of others in it.
So did you do any random acts of kindness?
No, I think I generally try to be kind throughout my entire day and life anyway.
I think I do as well. I think I was saying to you that I park my car in a courteous way.
Well, yeah, I was saying it. Like,
which we do. So our neighbours can...
The neighbours who are kids, the neighbours who have got larger families.
Yeah.
You know, like, so they can park. Like, sometimes, it's just thing, little things like that. Eh? Like,
exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
So
yeah,
our random acts of kindness, nobody knows about, and we don't talk about on social media or podcasts.
Yeah, well, we just did now, but
yeah, but normally we wouldn't.
Normally we wouldn't. But then there's so many other things we randomly do as well. And
So what's your other social media thing that's trending?
So basically, a sealed Nintendo cartridge game of the original Mario Kart from the Nintendo's entertainment system, the SNES, that we used to have, that sold for about $80,000.
Okay,
but get the facts up and get the figures up. But $80,000, man, so that's crazy. Isn't it? And it was fully sealed in, you know, that plastic thing that the games used to come in. And I was like, no way, man. And I was thinking, like,
so what is it called, Mario?
It's just Mario, just the first Mario game, isn't it?
Okay.
I think that's the first Mario game. But that's sold, man, for that much. Like, what? You know, you're not, the guy's not gonna open it and start playing it. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna start playing this Mario game. But it sold for a crazy amount of money, man. I thought that was nuts, man. And then it got me thinking.
So it sold for 100k, it's saying.
Oh, 100k. Yeah. Okay.
So ultra rare Super Mario NES cartridge sold for over 100k.
And it was sealed in the plastic as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? Like, think about it. Like, I remember cartridge games back in the day when they used to come out brand new, it used to be £65, man. Hmm. And there wasn't this whole thing about, well, not that we knew of anyway, exchanging, you know, you go to a game exchange or something like that and change it up.
Yeah.
Or That stuff didn't even exist, man. Like, people would buy it, keep it. But yeah, wow, man.
Who bought it? Did they tell you? Did they say who bought it?
I don't know. Why would someone buy it, though? So these people are collectors and stuff.
Yeah, obviously, innit? Don't think some random geezer's bought it is going to open it.
I think it's crazy. I think it's like... Like, no, we used to have one, like... But...
Just looking at the graphics is just reminding me of the game, man.
It's a bit wicked, don't it? Remember Duck Hunters off?
Yeah.
And sometimes you felt like you could never shoot the dog in it.
Yeah.
You could always shoot the thingy, but you could never shoot the dog, man. That's a crazy one.
Okay, so the other thing that I've got trending.
Yeah.
What's your last thing?
It was Isis Bride.
Isis Bride, I've got that as well.
Snap! It's a mind meld.
Yeah, so basically, the Isis Bride thing.
Okay, look, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I just basically saw it on social media.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people
commenting on it, a lot of
right wing people commenting on it,
a lot of left wing people. I think everyone's commenting on it. The most comments that people said was fuck off, basically.
Well, yeah, essentially, yeah. And I don't even know where to even go with this. Like, I don't know, like,
should tell you the backstory. I think everyone knows the backstory.
But
you haven't seen this trending on social media, yeah. You either listen to this podcast late or
what is the backstory in it?
Okay, so basically, some girl who was, when she was 15 or something, she travelled over to Syria, and because she must have got brainwashed by some propaganda or something.
Yeah.
Some ISIS propaganda, and she basically travelled there. She was from London, Bethnal Green, and she travelled over there with three of her friends.
Yeah,
and they've been there for like 4 years, and the family reported them as missing, saying that these three, four girls have disappeared, and they've recently re-emerged. And apparently, one of them got killed. Two of them are like missing; they don't know where they are. Innit?
Yeah,
and one of them got in touch with. Was it the Telegraph or one of the newspapers?
Yeah. Okay.
So one of the newspapers, and did like an interview, and she was basically saying that I'm expecting a child and I want to come back to the UK now.
Yeah.
And everyone's basically saying,
no.
Like, fuck off, innit, basically, innit? Yeah. So anyway, so that's the story.
That's the story.
And okay. It was trending because literally everyone's commenting on it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you can obviously, everyone's weighing in their opinions. I mean, yeah. In the end, I don't know. Like, what's that dude's name?
So what's your opinion? And I'll be the opposite opinion.
Well, my opinion is, I don't know. I think that first of all, she's clearly not right in the head.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks that, you know, any of this thinks that I only want to go to a place where there's something like that happening, and
so I don't know what the conflict is, man. So basically, yeah. Is ISIS fighting the Syrian people?
I don't know. I have to take a Google search to figure that out, because
I'm not going to Google search it.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be like so complex. I just think. So basically, my assumption is that ISIS people are fighting the Syrians.
Yeah,
do you want me to Google it?
Well, I think we should do, because you can't base on assumptions. Okay, look. Yeah, so clearly she's not right. I'm not saying she's not right in the head. Clearly, you know, young impressionable individual, realized they made a mistake, and I'm thinking, okay, what's the danger of bringing her back into the UK? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is the threat? And obviously people will be like, well, you know, she could be a threat to this, she got links to terrorism, she got links to this. But there's probably people in the UK who are probably more dangerous than her, who have probably got more, you know what I mean, who can probably cause more damage than her. And these are people are not even related to anything terrorism related. They just could be a nuisance, or they could have racist views, or they want to hurt people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is what I think that...
Okay, so basically, essentially, the Syrian civil war.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming that I've got the right Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Is a war between the government and the people who want to overthrow the government.
Yeah.
And I don't know how ISIS fits into this. Like, literally no idea. I'm assuming ISIS is, like, prevalent there. And well, they have to be the ones that are trying to overthrow the government, right?
Well... It's such a complicated issue, man. Like, I would only want to read up about it and then comment about it, or make anything.
Well, you had your opportunity.
Yeah,
because you knew we were going to chat about it in the podcast.
Well, I don't know. Well, I thought my main thing with ISIS Bride was going to be, if they're right to let her back into the UK. I think if she's a UK citizen.
Yeah,
then she deserves the right. And when does anyone give up that right? You know, if, for example, if she was a white.
Well, basically,
Islamic convert. No, then I bet they'll be like, "Oh, like, my God, you got."
Yeah.
You know.
No, but the thing is that if she went over to Syria,
yeah,
and she left the country to join a terrorist group, isn't that like
treason?
Treason, or isn't that like terrorism in itself? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, and the thing is that the only reason she wants to come back now is because they're attacking, like, there's air raids attacking ISIS, isn't it?
Well,
so
Syria,
obviously they're losing their stronghold or whatever it is. So that's why she wants to come back. So she doesn't want to come back because, like, if everything was good for her, she'd probably stay.
Yeah.
But because things ain't working out for her, she wants to come over. But the thing is that why did she leave in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, what was so bad here? There's people coming all out of those countries.
Yeah, refugees.
Saying that country is so fucked, we want to leave that country to come here for a better life. Why would you go the other way around? Because that's why it was in the news, because it was so shocking that somebody left a safe haven, essentially, to go into a war zone.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so which are you saying she shouldn't be allowed in, or should be allowed in?
I think she should be allowed in, I think.
I think the troops should be allowed in on the basis that they were saying that the Syrian government hasn't got enough, because the Syrian government's been overthrown, or they're battling this, that they haven't got the resources to prosecute these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some people are saying that she should be allowed back in so the UK government can prosecute her properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can obviously inflict the law on her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think at the same way, just leaving her there is
wrong as well.
No, I think it's fine.
Okay.
Like, why would you purposely bring a threat back to the country?
But then how much of a threat is she?
But she's obviously, she was radicalized. And then she could potentially radicalize other people as well.
But they're going to, obviously, if they get her back into the country, they're not going to, like, here's, you know, they're going to possibly put on a house arrest. They're probably going to, you know what I mean? They're not going to, She ain't gonna be allowed back. Sometimes I think they restrict people's internet access as well if people commit crimes or, you know what I mean?
But do so they though?
But yeah.
I don't
think. They would for her, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They could for her.
I don't think they would. I mean, there's people. Like, if you're feeling bad for her because she's got a kid and she's.
It's not that.
British
I think
citizen,
it's. I
or
think
she's
it's...
a person. There's people getting killed in those countries anyway.
Mm.
Like, why don't. If you feel bad for people, why don't they just grab any people who have got no choice to be there?
Mm.
Like, she purposely went over there. And people saying, oh, she was influenced as a child, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think so.
When you was 15 years old, yeah.
Was I influenced?
Like, would you. As a 15 year old, yeah.
Yeah. I can't even get out of bed, let alone, I don't know how, like...
That's what I'm saying, how would you even go and think that you're going to get an aeroplane?
Yeah.
A flight, and go to another country? Like, I personally think that their family or somebody was involved, and they...
Well, so somebody was definitely involved, somebody
some adult or someone was involved.
Yeah, because no way, like, I don't know, like...
Like, how can 3 15-year-olds just get up and just go?
Yeah.
Because, like, think about it, as a 15-year-old man, like, I don't even think that I even knew what was going on.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
But clearly something's happened there, man. Something's influenced these girls to go and do something like that.
And then when you was listening, did you listen to her talking on the report?
I've been off social media, man. So I'm
okay, like, so basically the girl was saying, yeah, that the guy was interviewing her and said that, do you regret joining? She goes, I don't regret going.
Yeah.
Or something like that. She said, I don't regret joining ISIS, but she said the caliphate or something is losing their stronghold.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, what kind of atrocities did you see? She goes, I saw a beheaded head in the bin and it didn't faze me.
What?
So she said that now.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Literally in the last 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I
watched some Facebook videos of people popping pimples, man.
And that was gross.
That's
gross to me out, man.
I was thinking about it for 3 or 4 days afterwards.
Yeah.
And just bloody pimple popping fazed me.
Ugh.
Do you know what I mean? It was nasty.
Even you just saying it, man. I think I mean more reaction to that than someone's beheaded
but
head.
But think about it, a beheaded head, man. And like, the thing is that she went over there to support people to attack the government of that country.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, if she's here and she doesn't believe in the government here, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what you're saying.
So
okay.
She's going to be like, potentially, she's not going to be supporting the government here, is she?
Yeah, she ain't going to be like... But she might be like, hey, the other side's losing now.
She's not going to go to the pretty British Legion Club open mic show, is she?
She might do, man. She might get an interview on Good Morning Britain. The Sun might be like an interview with ISIS Bride. So, I mean, the British tablet's going to probably have already, and they're going to eat it up, man.
I reckon they probably will let her back in.
Yeah.
On the basis that, is it MI5 who's...
She's going to be living there, isn't
she? No, who's our secret service, man? Is it MI5 or MI6?
Is it IMF? It's not MFI.
Impossible Missions Force.
It's IMF, isn't it? The MFI is kitchens, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not them guys.
But basically, yeah, whoever the special forces are, they might want to...
Interrogate
her, because they'll find out more about, like, ISIS and that. But the thing is that she's also, even in recent news reports, saying, I had nothing to do with the terrorism. I was just a housewife for the 4 years that I was there. Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. But if you want to come back into the country, she should be like on the news report saying, yeah, I know what's going on. Bring me back and I'll tell you what's happening there. Not saying, oh, I don't know what's going on.
And also, they're changing the people. We need apparently the government's saying we need more skilled workers. So she should be like, this is all the things I can do.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's earned 30K. Can you believe that's what they're going to change now? If you're coming as a worker in the UK, you have to earn up to 30K. People in the UK don't earn up to 30K, man.
Exactly. But you know what, though, yeah? They should not allow this girl back in, I don't think.
Fair enough, I think.
On the basis that she left the country. Like, I know she was 15, yeah? People can argue that she was 15 and she was influenced.
I mean, if people can have a viewpoint and then change it.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, wow, you learned something. Good for you. Yeah, why can't
this is like the extremist point of view, man.
Very extremist.
Like, this is like, you literally got out your house that morning and you caught a flight, man. And to do that, it takes planning.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, she didn't just end up in that situation.
They need to find out who the hell set the itinerary, who the hell made this happen.
But the thing is that there's bloody videos going around about that of the dad.
Mm.
Who's in propaganda videos, not propaganda videos, in marches and stuff.
Yeah.
Where there's people marching against, I don't know what they were marching against, but
yeah,
in videos where he's
so far her dad's just in videos
in a march.
These videos could be like anti-war videos. These videos
they're marching or protesting against something, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's
yeah, so for or against something, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, dad's in
something
videos.
That doesn't align with the views of,
yeah, but that's a lot doesn't, yeah, the British public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's stay in the European Union. Yeah. That doesn't align with the British public, can it? They get
so basically, yeah. I don't think she should be allowed in.
Fair enough.
And
okay.
It was trending on social media. But the thing that...
Calm down, Tony Robinson.
No.
No,
Tony Robinson.
Tony Robinson is the guy from Time Team.
So basically, yeah. The thing that's pissing me off about the social media comments there.
Yeah.
Like, people are saying, oh, they should send her family back there.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Like, so what
that's
the fuck?
Typical racist.
Like, you know, like...
And thinking
if,
that,
it's just, her.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I mean,
like,
that person wouldn't like it if their kid, who's, you know, caused some ruckus on a council estate.
Yeah. And then they said, oh, imprison the entire family.
Yeah.
Or
the entire family must be like that. Or,
yeah.
I've seen some horrible things, man, on social media. Like,
you mean comments? Or?
Comments, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, pimple popping as well, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But anyway, so like, those comments are annoying, were a bit annoying, yeah. And the other things that people were on about was, what else were people saying?
Just a general racism that
follows. Oh, like
this.
She's gonna come over here and she's gonna have loads of
benefits
and shit in it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done on that.
Okay,
you been doing?
What have we been doing? Okay, what I've been doing? Okay, so I've been going gym, and gym's been good, and that's it, man. And then whether that mean watching,
so you're on track on your gym target.
Well, I'm not even on track on my gym target. I think I'm enjoying the process of going to the gym, going four times a day, enjoying the running, enjoying
four times
the
a week.
Swimming. Four times a week,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that'd be different, wouldn't it? Four times a day.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that. And I'm not even looking at it as I've got a target. I'm just looking as we said earlier on, like a full lifestyle change. And this whole thing where it's like, you know, it's just part of my everyday.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Have my one day off in the week, have the weekends off to do what I need to do, man. How about yourself? What have you been up to?
It was Valentine's Day, so I did nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went gym. But what I did do was, because remember we were saying that we weren't going to go on Nando's for however long? No, but we did go in January, didn't we?
Yeah, so it's been a month.
Yeah.
So you got
I went to Nando's.
So you got your new February
Nando's, yeah. So I got that.
Intake February Nando's. Okay, cool.
And so that one we went to was one near IKEA. So like, obviously we've been doing a bit of spring cleaning.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go and get a few more bits and bobs from IKEA. So when I did that, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I did was I finished the DIY.
Amazing, man.
Even though my friend was saying, remember?
Yeah.
That I don't finish it.
But your problem is
I started but don't ever finish it within a set amount of time.
Or that it's stopping doing DIY. That is your problem, isn't it? Most people have the issue, they can't start it. You can't stop it. Like, you're always doing something.
Yeah,
always.
So we did that.
Yeah.
I mean, that friend who was commenting on that, also, we went down to her house and she was showing us how to make sushi.
Which was awesome,
yeah.
It was just so, like, simple in its the way it was made. Like, you always think it would be made, like it looks simple, isn't it? But there's a technique to cooking the rice.
Yeah. So she had this like little mat thing, didn't she?
Yeah.
So she had this little mat thing to roll the sushi.
Yeah. They're made out of bamboo, innit?
Yeah. Then she had like cling film around that.
But it's probably to keep it clean,
Keep it clean,
yeah.
And then what was she using? Like, was it those sheets of...
Seaweed. That was pretty cool. We probably do not know any of the Japanese terms for this.
I don't know what it was. So basically she said there has to be a special rice for sushi making.
Yeah, so is it sushi rice and it's sticky rice?
Sticky rice, yeah.
Yeah. And,
she put in some like kind of like sticky rice vinegar or something like that.
Yeah, sticky rice vinegar. Yeah, that's what it said on there. And also caster sugar as well.
Yeah.
To make it.
But I never knew that sugar, the thing
the
is
rice
sugar
in
there.
Yeah.
But when she put it in there, I could really taste the sugar.
Yeah.
That was weird, innit?
Yeah. But I think it was nice, man. Like the sushi
like
was
making it fresh.
So like the fish, the crab sticks.
Mm.
Or the fish sticks, actually.
The prawns. They probably were crab sticks.
Yeah. No, they remember Alan Partridge?
What's that?
He was saying that they used to be called crab sticks, but then apparently they found that they never had any crab in it. So they just had to call it fish sticks.
Okay.
<'Cause> then,
I never knew this.
I think it's always the other around, but I think that's what it is. They can't be called crab sticks.
Hmm.
So they just be called fish sticks, so they don't just be anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just like a fishy kind of...
Yeah.
Flavor,
yeah, it could be any
in these sticks, but it could be
any
sea creature. Okay,
yeah, but they were tasty.
Yeah,
But if anything, it made me actually want to make my own, but I think I'd probably
need to practice a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. But it's cool, man. Cause I mean, I do enjoy eating sushi, man. I never just get that and just make it anytime I feel.
Yeah.
But then again, like, you can just go out and eat it as well, isn't it? And it's probably nicer going out and eating. It's fresh.
Yeah. You know, I mean, her sushi was good.
Oh, wow. Someone's unappreciative.
But I was going to say, it wasn't better than the one that we had in Hong Kong.
Of course.
Which it never was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went to a specialty place in Hong Kong and she was just there making it at home.
Yeah, as a out of goodness, out of random act of kindness for us.
And exactly.
All right, cool. That was cool, man. What else are we doing, man?
Anyway, so would you recommend her? Would
I go again? I'll definitely go again. Yeah. And I'll definitely recommend her, as I'll say. Yeah. Tell them to get down the house. Make okay, some cool. sushi.
Yeah. What bars you been in?
That's it. Spring cleaning as well, man. So we managed to throw out 3 bags of unwanted clothes. Yeah. To a charity shop.
So did she ask you whether you wanted to sign up to some...
The gift aid stuff.
Gift aid stuff.
Yeah, I did, man.
You signed up to it?
But it's fine. We don't get charged anything.
Yeah.
It's just that they get to extra... So charities get... Because we're a taxpayer, charities get extra 25p for every pound.
Well, how? I don't understand this.
I don't know, but I read upon it. I know about it as well.
Yeah.
So my first thing was always, does this affect me? Does this affect my tax? And like, nah, they just get that.
So they just get it. Yeah. That did not make sense to me at all.
But you can next time just go in, just say my postcode, our postcode, and it's fine.
All right.
But they get more money, basically, innit?
Okay, cool. What else did you do?
That's it, man. Other than that, literally just films and...
So we went on our little mini movie marathon again.
Yeah,
maybe?
So we're trying to do, 100 films in 2019.
Yeah. So we're on to number 6.
Oh my God, man. It's gonna be
we
long.
Ain't even in double digits yet.
Yeah, that's going to be long, innit?
Yeah.
But some of the films have been good though. So what's the first film we want to talk about?
The first film we should talk about is How to Train Your Dragon.
The Hidden World,
yeah.
Yeah. Initial thoughts, man, like,
so that was a sequel
to it was the third one of the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't know what the second one's called, you know, I can't remember what it's called. Or was it How the Number 2 Train Your Dragon?
I don't know, you know.
I don't think it was.
I'll have a look. But yeah, carry on.
But yeah, I mean, okay, this film, this... initial thoughts was I enjoyed it. And the great thing is that you don't need to watch the first two to understand what's going on. I think I have seen the first two.
Yeah, I think it's called How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
The Land of Dragons is number 2.
But it's been a while since I've seen them, so it was fine. You know, it was good. I liked the whole, the CGI was good, storytelling was good. The dragons were cool as well. The characters good. And it was a nice fitting ending to the whole trilogy in it.
Yeah, so I think they wrapped it up quite nicely.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to be any more. But it was good, man. This is the thing now, like, quite a lot of these films, like, because we got the cinema pass, it's easy to go and watch it. But if you ain't got the cinema pass, then I don't know, man. Like, would I watch this again? Probably not, because I felt like I don't need to watch it again.
Yeah.
Would I recommend it? If you're a huge fan of the How to Train Your Dragon franchise, go and watch it. Other than that, I mean, you could probably watch the first one on Netflix, the second one's probably on BBC iPlayer, and then you can watch the third one in the cinema if you want to. But
so this one didn't make as much money as the other one. So the budget for this was 129 million.
Yeah.
And they've made currently 172 million.
Yeah.
But is that like, how long has the film been out?
It's only come out this weekend.
Okay.
So yeah, and it's going to make a lot of money. It's going to be made next weekend because it's half term next week.
All right, cool.
So this is what they're doing with the film.
Because you know the number 2?
Yeah.
The How to Train Your Dragon 2 cost 145 million and made 622 million.
But the third one's gonna make a lot of money,
do you reckon?
Yeah,
I thought the third one was good, man.
It's a good film, but it's like, for me, I think it was a good film, but it just didn't hit it for me. Like, you know, a lot of people are gonna like it, a lot of people like the characters as well. I like the mythology, I like the whole storytelling of it, you know. Then this was probably, I think these set of films for me are better than, I say probably better than the Shrek films. Because the Shrek films, the first one is okay, the second one I really liked, but the third one I didn't like at all. But this from the DreamWorks.
Yeah. I think the reason I like this film was because the main characters, like the dragon and the kid, they both got a disability, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hinder him in any way. And it's not like a massive plot point. I can't remember the other two films, but yeah, it's just like the kids just doing his normal stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I like the interplay with the characters as well. But yeah, no, it was good. It's good.
Yeah. And like, no one's there like helping them because they're disabled or whatever.
Yeah, that's some of that stuff, isn't it?
They're just doing their shit, innit? So
yeah.
Like, which is what pretty much what most people do with a disability, innit? Like, they just get on with their life, innit? They don't expect people to come and start helping them cross the road just because they're blind, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, it's true. And I've seen people, like, people who are visually impaired or blind walking around, and it's amazing how they can manage, you know, like, it's good, you know what I mean? And it frees up a lot of people, man. I say I signed up to this app called, I can't remember what it's called, man. It's like Visualize, or like Be My Eyes.
Yeah.
And it's basically, so you, loads of seeing people sign up to help be eyes for people who are blind or visually impaired. And if the person who's blind has, if they need help identifying, I don't know, two colour different t-shirts, and they're like, I want to know which one the blue one is, they'll log into the app, send out an alert to say, I need your services. And it will, the app will ring someone, and then someone will answer it, and they'll be like, hi, I need help deciding which is the blue t-shirt. And I thought that's pretty cool, isn't it?
That's
technology's meant to be.
Yeah, but there's also this like meme going around, or like this news thing, where there was somebody walking around with the stick, can it?
Yeah.
What is it called?
I don't know, you know.
I was going to say blind stick, but
that's probably not right.
A bit on PC, innit?
Yeah.
So basically, she's walking around with like a stick.
Yeah, the white stick.
And she was also looking at her phone.
Okay.
And then people were saying that, oh, so she can't be blind because she's got looking a phone.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you can be legally blind but still have some vision.
Yeah.
Because
you can be legally blind and have a TV.
Yeah. So basically, your vision around like some of your peripheries might be affected, so that might make you blind, or you might just about be able to see out of like one particular
eye. Person, you know, you can use your phone's got an ability where you can read the screen. Yeah. So, you know, you don't mean you have to be seeing the phone.
Yeah.
And your phone, you know, you listen to podcasts on it, you can listen to, you can use it as a radio.
Yeah.
So these people are just, oh, man, some people.
Because I went to some government thing, man. I can't remember what it was, man. I want to say it was a job centre, but it wasn't the job centre. I went
MFI
somewhere.
MFI training.
And there was this guy who was visually impaired.
Yeah.
And he had his face next to the screen. Like, that's how bad his visual impairment was.
Why am I laughing?
And he had the font size on like 72 or something.
But I'm not laughing
still,
at that.
No, but the guy was still doing his job. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't affect
true.
Him.
That's true. Yeah, fair enough.
And he was still like talking to me, and he went through whatever he was doing. I can't remember what he was, you know.
Yeah.
But he was still like reading through the stuff and just did everything.
Hear about this? I don't know if the guy was going to be a judge or going to be a lawyer or something. Well, you know, I've seen Matt Murdock, but this guy in Britain, I think he was going to be a judge. Wanted to be a judge, and he was visually impaired. And then I think he finally passed that he could. But then you had the other politician as well. Can't remember his name. Who's visually impaired, isn't it? The Labour politician.
I literally cannot remember. Oh yeah, I think I know now.
Yeah. David Blunkett.
David Blunkett.
Yeah, I think it was David Blunkett, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's now it's that thing as well when they say about for example, like the Paralympics, like that's when the real feet of human thinking occurs, isn't it?
Why are you using puns like feet?
All right, okay. I don't know, that's what you're laughing at. I mean, I just think I think it's amazing, man, you know what I mean? That sort of stuff, man.
Anyway, so we were...
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
I'm getting a sidetrack. Okay. But yeah, how many...
I think the film was enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was good. And the story was good as well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too heavy in it, the story. It was like quite light. It's quite easy to follow, which obviously has to be because it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But I think I'll probably give it like 3.5,
yeah,
four
I'll go with about 3 in it. Yeah, I'll go with 3.
Yeah. It was a good film. I think 3.5, 4 stars because... Like, sometimes when you're watching these kids' movies, they're a bit annoying, innit? Because, like, you know, they try to be too top-heavy on the message, innit?
Yeah.
Whereas this was just, like, it was enjoyable enough, and you kind of got the message, and it was nice, innit? It was, like, reasonably good action to watch.
No, I should think about it. They had some good themes in it, man. Yeah. Okay, that was pretty decent. What was the, how many, three and a half stars? Okay, cool. I was going to say, how many dragon eggs would you give it, but... 3.5 dragon eggs. Okay.
Yeah.
3.
Cool. Sorry. Okay, so the next film we went to watch was... Kid Who Would Be King.
Yeah.
Which was a retelling of the Knights of the Round Table, King Arthur story, wasn't it?
The King Arthur
for the modern day world.
So, initial thoughts on this?
I thought it was good.
Thinking back, and I actually liked it. For some reason, though, because this was written by the same guy, Joel Cornish, who done Attack the Block and stuff. For some reason, I thought this was going to be a comedy similar to Attack the Block.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. So I think my expectation of it was to be like, oh, it's going to be a... you know, a ballsy comedy with street kids and all that.
I mean, it's doing pretty well on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like 89%.
Yeah, no, it's got really good.
It's got good reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely worth checking out. But it's like a British fantasy adventure, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the guy you're talking about, Joel Cornish.
Mm.
Did you say that he's directed films like...
He wrote and directed Attack the Block and all that stuff, yeah. So he's... So this was good, man. So this is initial thoughts here. Really enjoyed it. Really good. I kind of felt it was... The only criticism is the fact it kind of was too long.
Yeah.
In certain parts.
Hmm.
But I think if you... Obviously, you wouldn't notice that if you're sitting there and you're enjoying it as much. Because afterwards, I was just like... Obviously, I was waiting for you. And like some of the kids were coming out of the cinema. And they were loving it.
Well,
like if like kids who are watching it at that age or younger are watching it and they're just...
Yeah,
enthralled in the story, they were loving it.
Yeah,
they're I think like, the I love kids, this and like, love that and love this.
I think like if kids who are like 6 or 7 might find it a bit scary.
Yeah,
but I think like anyone between like 7,
yeah,
to about 14, 15 year old kids might enjoy it.
Yeah. I think also I love the whole mythology on it as well. The way that it's a fresh retelling on the whole King Arthur story.
Yeah,
it wasn't like how you know sometimes you get the Hollywood remake King Arthur and it's just the same.
Yeah,
the story, it was, you know, had really good takes on it. But yeah, I was gonna say the actors are good as well. That kid, like I think his surname Serkis. I want to know if he was like he, for some reason I'm watching him and he looks like a young Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Is that because I think I was trying
Is his father's Andy Serkis?
No way. Okay.
Yeah.
That was funny, isn't it? Because I was seeing the surname come up, I was thinking, is that his dad?
Yeah.
Or is that, you know, is that his son?
Yeah, his father Andy Serkis, also an actor director.
I think all the kids were good in it though. That's what made it really good.
Yeah,
you know, from the kid who played Alex, and then the guy who played Bedders as well. He was good as well.
Yeah,
his
so Andy Serkis is the guy who's. Does all the mocap stuff in
it. Mocap stuff in it, yeah. And Gollum and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And he's Claw as well. Ulysses Claw.
Yeah. But sorry, Karen, you're talking about the other actors.
The other actors are great as well. The girl who played Lady K as well. What was her name, man? Rihanna.
Yeah, she hasn't been in much. Rihanna Doris.
Rihanna Doris. She was good as well.
Yeah.
And the guy who played...
Lance,
he was good. And I think what I liked about it as well is that the characters all had a story arc and they all changed. And there was really good themes as well. And the kid who played Merlin was obviously good as well. Like I think as soon as he turned up though, he was like obviously it could be because he's older as well. Or, but he I really liked his thingy, man. He had a good vibe in it.
Yeah.
Like when he came on screen and all that.
I mean, that girl looks really familiar, but I don't know who she is. That Rihanna Doris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
But I think it's that thing as well, like because to me the people the jamming and the jowled, you know what I mean? As a cast and. I thought it was good, man. I was thinking about it when I first came out. I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure on it, but I think yeah, man, like easily about 3.5 stars I'd give it, man. How about yourself?
It was good, man, but I mean there was like quite a bit that we were saying was spoilt in the trailer wasn't there? And there was this bit which I was saying to you that I would find it quite scary. So it's a bit where he calls the Lady of the Lake.
Yeah.
And so they fill up it's in this trailer in it, so it's not really much in it.
Yeah.
So they fill the bath up.
So the lady,
and he says, Lady of the Lake, can you return Excalibur?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this hand just pops out of the bath in it.
That's something.
I said, if that happened to me in real life, or you know, like if I was there and that happened, I'd fucking shit myself.
Seriously, innit?
Like that's like some Ring shit, innit?
It is, innit?
Like you know that scary woman from the Ring, innit?
Yeah.
That's one of those scenarios, man.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what this film done for me as well, though. It made me, like, interested in the whole... Because, you know, everyone always talks about King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and the whole British mythology or... I don't know, it's British mythology, man. I don't even know.
I think it must be in it.
I think that's probably even the right word. Anglo-Saxon mythology? Or is that the right... I don't know. But you know what I mean? For a long time, it made me interested. Something hasn't made me interested in that. And this actually did.
Saxon,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This actually made me interested in that, and it was also like they were picking out all the.
Oh wait, there. The British leader, medieval histories, led the defense against Saxon invaders.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. You're just throwing out random words at it, man.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that's what this film done as well. So hopefully, for a lot of other kids, it will probably make them interested in
history.
In history, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the country as well. What though, you know. And just also
finding out more about
learning more about, because it went for a little tour as well.
Yeah,
and like it was showing you bits of and I don't know how much is real, how much is just made up in the for the story. But you know, obviously like stuff like Stonehenge was real and interesting, and the little bits in the UK they were showing as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of greenery, a lot of like things to see around UK, isn't it? So
it made it interesting, man. It made a... But once again, you had like kids going on a long adventure, and they change their viewpoints, exactly, and they want to come back.
Yeah,
they'll say, "Don't let them back in the school."
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
so are you saying like that's what happened to that ISIS bride? Yeah. Nah, man, these guys went on an adventure for good, man.
Okay, okay.
Not for
a good and bad is just a point of view. Ben, I'm taking the piss now. Oh, I'm serious.
Okay, so
okay, what would you give it?
So I would definitely,
I think about 4 stars in it.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't watch it again because like we've seen what happens.
Yeah.
But I think I would recommend it.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely, man. Four stars.
Definitely, yeah.
Cool, man. So, moving on to
final
book.
Yeah, so film. The final film we watched was Green Book.
Yeah, Green Book. Okay, straight off the bat, thoroughly enjoyed this film. Like, I'm going to give it, straight up say that it's, I'm going to give the star rating straight up, man, 5 stars.
You're going to give it 5?
Yeah.
I think 4.
4?
4.5 stars,
four and a half?
Yeah.
Okay, 4.5 stars. Okay.
Yeah, so basically, Green Book is a biographical, I was about to say bibliographical.
Okay.
Like, trying to make it sound like it's Bible, you know.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so Green Book is a 2018 biographical comedy drama directed by Peter Farrelly.
Yeah.
Who's that dude?
Peter Farrelly. So Peter Farrelly's directed stuff like Dumb and Dumber.
Is it Farrelly? It looks like Farrelly.
Peter Farrelly.
Okay,
I don't know. Directed stuff like Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary. So he does a lot of comedy. And so Green Book is based on true story.
Yeah.
And
so
it's
basically,
about...
Yeah. So the true story is that there was an... African-American classical jazz pianist called Don Shirley.
Yeah.
And it was about him going on a tour. And the tour was him with his trio.
Yeah.
Plus their driver, which is Tony Vallelonga.
Tony Lip, we'll call him.
Tony Lip, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was his moniker in it, as it were. And
it's not the lip.
Yeah. So basically, it's based on true events. Yeah. But obviously, a lot of it has been romanticized.
Yeah.
And the film's named after the, I'm not even going to say the
guide.
Words, man.
So
it's
basically,
sounds racist, man. So basically, it's a Motorist Green Book guide
for black people.
For black people in it.
And it was created because in that time when it was created,
in the 60s,
parts of America were not safe for black people.
Yeah.
And especially when they were traveling down south. You know, they needed spaces and places to eat, sleep. And it was, you know, the film was probably, you're absolutely right, probably wasn't romanticized and wasn't showing how horribly black people were probably being treated or were treated.
Yeah.
And the Green Book existed because, you know, this guy needed, the guy was a guy who used to work in the post office.
Yeah.
What was his name, man? Vigo or Victor something Green in it.
Victor H. Green.
Victor H. Green.
Yeah.
You know, he created this Green Book, so when black people were traveling, they had safe places to stay, and they actually had places to stay.
Yeah,
because, you know, it's no spoiler alert. Victor Hugo Green. It's no spoiler alert. Where in this film, you know, the Don Shirley is traveling in the South, and he's a revered artist. People love his music, and it's horrible the fact that he's playing in one hotel or restaurant.
Yeah,
he can't even use the facilities.
Yeah.
And that just was making me so angry, man. Like, I was there like, what the hell?
But you know, like, I was reading some, like, stuff around it, and somebody was talking about this Green Book. And they were saying, yeah, but why would black people want to travel around America around that time? And it's like...
It's your freedom.
Freedom. Yeah. And, like, what if they wanted to go to see their family?
Yeah.
What if they wanted to go and see their friends? What if they wanted to go to a wedding, a funeral? Like, you know, they might want to go to anything in a different state and they want to go and stay there. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't have to...
Stay in one area.
Yeah.
Like, and then even that's
going
worse.
For a bloody tour, are they? Like, you
exactly,
know,
yeah.
It might not be.
You know what I mean? And the fact as well is that it's that... You're absolutely right. It's a freedom to travel the country.
Yeah. But, I mean, the film stars some good actors, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen. So, Mahershala Ali was... You know, that this... We were talking about this. So, he's won BAFTA and Golden Globe.
Yeah,
for best supporting actor.
Hmm.
And we were saying that, wait a minute, the film was about him.
Yeah,
how can he win best supporting actor?
Supporting actor, yeah, like it didn't make sense in it.
So,
but then when you look at it,
yeah, the story was produced by Tony Lip,
yeah,
and his family. So once again, it's told from that perspective, the white perspective, and that's interesting as well, because the idea is meant to be that this guy changed from his viewpoint.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But you know,
but you know, like this Tony Lip guy, yeah. Do you know that he was an actor as well?
Yeah, because was so he also was in the
Sopranos? Yeah,
I think I remember seeing that, and he's actually in the film as well, isn't it? I think he makes a cameo in the film as well.
Is he? He's but dead? You know,
is he dead?
Yeah. How does he make a bloody cameo? The dude's okay. dead. Bro.
Holy shit! Actually, that makes more sense. I remember seeing it on the cast list, but then I must have been looking at the character names, thinking, oh wait, the actual, that happened to me last time, Zylo. I saw a cast list. I was like, no way, they cast their entire family. But I was looking at the character names. I was like, no way, they're all related, you know. I was like, wait a minute. It's all the names of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
This dude, he was also in one of your favourite movies, man. He was in Donnie Brasco.
Oh yeah, that's Tony an Lippo. Amazing film, man.
Yeah.
Donnie Brasco. So this was
And he was in Goodfellas.
So this was interesting. That's always a good film. So. Okay.
And Godfather.
So... The thing I loved about this was the chemistry between Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali. Mahershala Ali, like, the guy's phenomenal, man, as an actor. You know what I mean?
So he was also in, like, Mahershala Ali was also in a couple of comic book movies, wasn't he? So he was in...
He was in Luke Cage, played Cottonmouth. He was in Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah.
So this guy, he's got some...
Smashing in it. I thought he was wicked in it. And you're saying the chemistry between them was good as well.
Yeah.
And Viggo Mortensen, man, I didn't recognise him from...
He apparently put lots of weight, you know. He apparently eating, like, pizza and stuff. He was eating... Like, he said he full on went eating Italian food.
Yeah. So, like, the only film that I recognise him from is Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
But it was funny when he was in Lord of the Rings, because obviously, like, everyone's just seen him as, like, full beard and all that, looking rugged and all that. And then he turns up clean shaven and all, like... Apparently, like, people on the internet, or not on the internet back then, or the newspapers, and like, people were like, oh my god, have you seen how he looks without a beard? And they're like, so they're literally fancying him when he had like that gruff look going on.
But the
film was wicked, man.
Between the two people,
and I think
good.
The showing of that time and the way the people's reactions were and the way the people reacting towards things, it was just horrible, man.
Yeah, but we were saying that like a lot of this was like told from Tony Lip's point of view, when really it was. Don Shirley, the pianist, they didn't really delve into like what was happening
with him in it
to them. So it was what was happening to Don Shirley from Tony Lip's point of view,
and
that's always a bit wrong, wasn't it?
Because now I think that they need to make, because even if they made a film, which I don't know if the studio's ever going to finance a film about Victor Hugo Green, you know, I mean, creating the Green Book, the actual Green Book. And they're going to be like, oh, no one's going to want to watch that. But a lot of people are going to probably want to watch that. That's such a fascinating thing where the guy's like, look, man, I'm going to create this book.
Yeah.
A safe place for people to stay.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
Like, white, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, I was watching some people talking about like the Green Book and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I think, were we watching something as well?
Yeah.
And like, when they were talking about the racism, the white people in the studio on the panel.
So we were watching the view in it.
Very.
Where they were interviewing. Whoopi Goldberg was interviewing Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
And you're right. The panel on the view. You know, the white people on the panel, they were getting very, very
uncomftable
when they were mentioning the racism.
Racism,
and
it
was just horrible, man.
Yeah.
Like the whole, just thinking about the whole, like some the parts of the film where you're like really, really nice and you're laughing and you know they got really good, as I keep saying, really good chemistry, bits that makes you just laugh out loud. Other parts of the film are just cringing, man. You're like, oh my god, this is sick.
Yeah.
How the hell can people still hold these views, man? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that people were holding it back then as well. But yeah, man. Wow. But this film,
my god, it was like, good, man. I think the setting of the film was good. I thought the music was really good as well.
Yeah, the stuff like that Don like, Shirley was playing and stuff.
Yeah, just the music that he was playing and just the general soundtrack of the movie was good. And I think like the just the setting of the film, I thought it was like really nice, like the way that they filmed it and all the rest of it. Because there's a lot of films, there's a lot of filming in the car, isn't there?
Yeah.
And like the interaction between the two, like they definitely like were.
It was nice, man. It
interesting
was like,
characters in it.
Yeah, really, really good. I think what I loved as well is that obviously both, you know, the characters, you know, everyone. First of all, on the physical journey of the car and stuff, but everyone involved in the film, the characters, everyone goes under some sort of thingy, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but everyone goes on a journey, everyone goes on a thingy, and that was great to see as well. But no, I think this was wicked, and I can see why it's
so they had like this massive character arc where they developed, and so basically like Tony Lip saw black people in a different light.
Yeah.
Afterwards, didn't he? After spending,
because it was time a, it was essentially, he was a racist.
He was racist.
Yeah, he was racist, man. And I think that's nothing. Was all the way. We don't know how much they toned down for the film.
Yeah,
like it would have been interesting to see if he was, how racist he was. But this is what something like, it was always like, it's always fine when people are being racist, especially when they are the other or the ethnic, and they're not, I don't know, white American, for example. You know, it will be racist towards another group of people. And then when you see someone who's racist towards them, then they're like, why are you being racist towards us? So I always find that interesting. I'm thinking, well, you shouldn't really be being racist towards any other group of people, because in the end, someone can be racist to you.
Yeah.
So I think that's always... And I think that... I don't want to spoil the film. But something like, you know, these kind of things make you... opens your eyes to things, doesn't it?
So I think like I was going to say a final comment, but I don't know if it's a spoiler in it.
Yeah.
It might be.
It was something funny, bit like, to
the,
do, like
the way to end racism is for every white person to go on a road trip with a black person.
Yeah.
Essentially, in it.
Imagine that it becomes part of the, like, it becomes part of people's everyday training.
That you have to.
Yeah, you have to go, yeah.
You know, what you mean? Have to do it. That'd be mad funny, man.
And it, like someone from like the EDF. No, one of them's electric people.
One of them's an electrical supplier, man.
You know what I mean, don't it? They have to go on a road trip with that's nuts, man.
Yeah, but anyway, so that was a good film.
I
so
mean, I'd recommend it. I'd watch it again.
I would recommend it and watch it again. Yeah,
yeah. And you know what? The film, like we were looking at, I was looking up on it, and I didn't realize that the running time was 2 hours and 10 minutes. Like that was a film that you're sitting there watching, and you're just there like just watching it all, man.
Yeah.
And the great thing I loved as well is that audience was packed as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously I think it's been months since this film's been out in the UK, and it was just nice watching it with an audience as well, and just seeing the audience laughing and reacting to bits. I feel like I made the film, but you know what I mean? It was just nice. Like,
it was good, man, yeah.
Like, you know, watching.
Actually, the only thing that happened in the cinema, which was a bit weird, where there was some guy sitting in our seat.
What a dickhead, isn't it?
And like, He was literally in the seat next to us.
Yeah, so I mean, so he was obviously him and his missus in a seat, and like, you don't sit in our seat, man. If you've got the other seat,
yeah,
just sit there. It's not gonna make a difference, isn't it?
It's not gonna make a difference, isn't it?
Yeah,
so I was even saying to you that, why was a guy sitting in our seat when he's literally in the next seat?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was weird, isn't it?
Like, don't do that to yourself, innit?
Yeah,
don't embarrass yourself. What we do next week, man?
So did we say 4 stars in it? So
yeah,
4 stars. You said 5 stars in it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I want to knock a star from it, because I think it was needed more Mahershala Ali in it.
Yeah. So okay, so 4 stars.
That's probably unfair, isn't it?
Definitely. Dan, definitely check it out if you can.
Yeah.
So next week, I've got nothing planned, but I'm just literally going back to work.
I'm doing going gym. I got a meal at Tamatanga. Going for that. So that should be fun and interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to watch Adair's show at the Rep. And then possibly, if I'm not too tired, going to, because Jump Prof is going to be doing a show at Serve Bar March 6th, so we're just going to go and check out the venue, because I got a vintage night happening.
Okay, that's cool.
So might check that out. But any emails or tweets?
No emails or tweets.
Okay,
and,
cool.
But you can check us out on social media and Twitter at WeDon'tDoStuff, or you can email us at WeDon'tDoStuff@gmail.com if you've got any suggestions or feedback.
Cool. I've been Sunny Dapp, and I'm independent.
And Tuna McCartney, that means no problems. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
I was going to say, why didn't you say bye?
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.